All right, on this week's episode, I-501CU, the podcast for nonprofit board members. I want to talk a little bit about what boards can do to help prevent or maybe mitigate fraud within the nonprofit organization. You know, every now and then we hear about a nonprofit that money was embezzled from, something was happening, and I often ask the question, where was the board when all of this was going on? There was one just even a couple months ago, $100 million gone. You're like, oh, good Lord. That doesn't happen overnight. So there's something systemic there. So as a board member, what can we do to ensure, well, you can't always ensure, but to limit the exposure, the opportunity for fraud within an organization? And so with the help of my good buddy, ChatGPT, Reed helped me identify the 10 things that we would have said otherwise if asked the question. And actually, it really makes it nice and concise. So just letting everybody know, I'm using a little AI out there. Trying to be trendy and trying to figure it out. But anyway, it actually came up with some very good answers, and it makes a lot of sense. So, hey, I want to jump in real quick. Somebody asked me the other day, what does the Corley Company do? Well, we do three things for nonprofits. One, we facilitate meetings. Yes, like board retreats where we discuss governance and strategy with all the members of the board. Number two, advise CEOs and help them as they make decisions and implement actions to drive their mission. And then finally, we produce podcasts such as this one, but also for a number of nonprofits to help you get the word out, get your message out. So if you're interested in any of these services, please feel free to reach out to Michael at thecorleycompany.com. Now back to the podcast. Number one, first and foremost, you got to establish a strong ethical culture. And of course, that starts at the top, including the board, but certainly the CEO. Do you have a strong ethics in place with honesty and transparency? Are people open? Do they communicate? Are there limited silos? So as a board member, we need to ask about that from a cultural perspective, observe, listen, and make sure we lead by example, even at the boardroom, that we are open and transparent and honest and candid and direct with each other. Number two, and this makes a lot of sense, implement clear policies and procedures. Boy, so many organizations don't have clear policies and procedures because we hate writing them. And we hate confining ourselves to those, but boy, they're really important. Include things like that, conflict of interest, procurement policies, especially procurement, depending on the size of the organization, clear policies and procedures in place so that people know what to follow and they know when somebody's not following them, which could lead to a unfortunate situations. Number three, segregation of duties, which is a nice continuation of the previous one, to separate those duties. Any accountant knows we want to have separation of duties. The person who's writing the checks is not the person who's reconciling the bank account, for example. More people that are involved in things, less likely for all of them to be in cahoots and commit fraud. Does happen, but it limits that. Number four, regular financial oversight and reporting. Of course, as a board member, you should be getting the financials. There should be audits by independent auditors, the internal controls should be reviewed. And that's something that a board can do, to ask to see those policies, those internal control policies, and review the financials, ask questions. That's all right. Number five, board oversight and involvement. You want to have an actively and an engaged board, particularly as I just mentioned, the financial statements, but in budgets, in reports, ask questions, seek clarification. In a board meeting, feel free to play dumb and ask those questions just to make sure the answers make sense and add up. You want to be inquisitive because over time, if there's something going on, you'll start to get a feeling or the dots won't connect. So be sure to ask a lot of questions. Here we are at six. Depending on the size of your organization, you're probably going to have an independent audit committee, or you should, and this is separate from the finance committee. So this is the audit committee where really the members should understand audit and have some financial expertise. This is the group that's going to examine the internal controls and work with the outside auditors. Really, really important. Seven, make sure you have whistleblower policies in place. This gives any employee the opportunity, if they see something that's not right, to report. There's no retribution if that's the case. And it's, you know, typically a phone number that's established that they call or some type of anonymity. Of course, you would want to investigate anything and use some common sense, but make sure there is an outlet for somebody who may be observing something. Number eight, of course, regular training and education. The board members, volunteers of everybody, just about what is fraud prevention? What is ethical conduct? Now, look, we should all know that. I understand that. But And those organizations that have experienced that type of fraud, I guess they weren't doing this type of thing. And so we should lead by example at the board level and at the CEO level, just to be proactive in having this type of training. Number nine, of course, you want to always continually monitor and evaluate. Look at your internal controls. Do they need to be changed? Do they need to be to evolve? What risks are there? As you grow in size, as you get an additional grant, maybe a federal grant, or all of a sudden you get a large sum of money, do you have the policies and procedures and practices in place to manage that kind of money and to report on it and be hold it to account? You know, everybody thinks, boy, it's a blessing when you get this big, humongous grant. But I can tell you it takes a lot of work to ensure that those funds are used to how they're supposed to be used and that you have those controls in place. It doesn't happen just overnight. And then I'm going to go number 10. I'm going to go back to really what we talked about at number one. That's as board members, we should lead by example in terms of ethical behavior, financial stewardship. Ask those questions. Follow policies. Set the tone for integrity. And when you're working at the board level and then throughout the organization, that really does begin to make a difference. And that leads me to one thing, maybe number 11, is be visible. Board members should be visible. You should go to events. You should ask questions of staff when you're at events. You know, some of it's just friendly conversation, but you never know what you're going to uncover. And just be visible. You know, it's kind of that old adage, you can expect what you inspect. And if you're not inspecting something, well, you don't know what to expect type of thing. So as a board member, while you can't totally eliminate the opportunity or the risk of fraud, you certainly can be proactive in creating an environment where fraud is less likely to happen. And you've got the controls in place to observe it, understand it when it does happen. So there you go. 10 things you can do as a board member to hopefully mitigate the opportunity for fraud in a nonprofit organization. And I'm sure I'm going to talk more on this later as this continues to, unfortunately, rear its ugly head. So this is Michael Corley of this week's episode of I-501CU, and I will I-501 see you next week.